This is Gavin Dahl with the KVNF Regional Newscast. Coming up, reporter Laura Palmisano brings us a story from Lake City, where about 50 people gathered for a Black Lives Matter march, but organizers failed to invite the town's only Black family. Plus, the Mountain West News Bureau reports more private companies could operate within national parks if a proposed rule change pushed by the Trump Interior Department goes through. First, these headlines. As Catherine Ann Heidelberg reported for the Montrose Press over the weekend, Region 10, the nonprofit supported by local, county, state, and federal governments, was awarded a $400,000 grant by the U.S. Commerce Department thanks to the CARES Act. Region 10 Community Development Director Trish Thibodeau told the Montrose Press, quote, "Where we see need is really focusing on our main streets and small businesses. How do we strengthen their resiliency and ability to adapt? The funding will support Region 10's programming for the next 2 years." On Friday night, officers with the Fruta Police Department and Mesa County Sheriff's deputies responded to a report of felony menacing in Fruta. According to a Grand Junction Police Department press release, the reporting party stated her adult male boyfriend had threatened her with a handgun. He allegedly failed to comply with orders and was shot by law enforcement and pronounced deceased on scene when medical personnel arrived. The 21st Judicial District Critical Incident Response Team will be responsible for investigating the incident. The Department of Interior is proposing a rule change that could open the door for more private companies to operate within national parks. The Mountain West News Bureau's Noah Glick reports.
The proposed change would make it easier for the Park Service to expand commercial services inside parks. Think Wi-Fi towers or food trucks. The Interior Department says it's a move to modernize the park experience and could lead to better services. Jason O'Neill disagrees. He's with the Western Values Project, a conservation nonprofit. He believes the move could lead to higher park fees and less fulfilling visits.
You're not going to have that natural experience. You aren't going to potentially see that wildlife that you might have before, because now we are, you know, sort of overrun with the food trucks and the pins and whistles and all these other things.
According to the Park Service, there are currently more than 500 commercial concessioners operating inside parks already, which brings in about $135 million worth of franchise fees every year. The public can submit comments on the proposed changes through mid-September. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Noah Glick.
The death of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police sparked outrage and protests across the globe. In the U.S., Black Lives Matter protests and demonstrations flared up in late May and continued into July. A group of about 50 people gathered in the small town of Lake City, Colorado, for a Black Lives Matter march in June, including a few of the town's Black and multiracial residents. However, the town's only Black religious leader and his family were not invited. For KVNF, Laura Palmisano brings us the story of what happened.
2 years ago, Brendan McMillan moved with his wife and seven children to Lake City, a predominantly white mountain town. He took a job here as the pastor at the local Baptist church. McMillan sports a close haircut, beard, and is quick to smile. He spoke with me on the porch of his home, that's across the street from the church where he ministers. We talked about what happened in early June in this town.
How is it possible that there's a Black Lives Matter march in the midst of what's going on in our country, and the only African-American family unit in the town did not know about it or learned about it an hour before via text and wasn't invited? How is this possible, how this happened?
I pose these questions to Jody Lindsay. She says it was her duty to call the local clergy, including McMillan, to let them know about the march and extend an invitation to join. Lindsay says she called Pastor McMillan, but didn't leave him a voicemail or follow up with a text or email.
You know, mea culpa, it was my fault. In my most defensive moments, I would love to blame somebody else, but it was my task and I fell down.
Lindsay says she didn't feel comfortable leaving a message for McMillan because she wanted to talk with him directly. She says she didn't want McMillan and his family to feel like they were only invited to the BLM march because they are Black. She also says the march wasn't well planned, but rather happened spontaneously. Lindsay says she and two locals decided to hold a demonstration and invited their friends, but a public announcement wasn't made. Lindsay also says she was worried about how a BLM march in Lake City would be received. She says that's why it was thrown together at the last minute and kept under the radar.
I was afraid of the reaction of a number of different people, Brendan included, law enforcement included, and so I chose to not confront that, not to give those people an opportunity to either prove me right or wrong. And that's on me. I need to be better about not assuming what other people are going to think or feel or act, and give them the chance to express themselves.
Lindsay says she was surprised by the turnout for the march. She thought only a dozen or so people would show up, but instead 50 in a town of 400 came. They walked past churches, businesses, and homes carrying signs and chanting. The march even went past McMillan's house and church. The pastor and his family watched it go by. The demonstrators stopped in front of the courthouse and were silent for 8 minutes and 46 seconds in memory of George Floyd. Immediately after the march, Pastor McMillan says he received a heartfelt apology email from Lindsay. He says he told a fellow African-American friend in Denver about what occurred. His friend compared it to a potential Saturday Night Live sketch where the well-meaning white people forgot to invite the town's only black family to a Black Lives Matter demonstration. McMillan says he and his wife joke about what happened, but that doesn't mean it wasn't hurtful.
At first, it's quite comical, but I would say that, yeah, my feelings were hurt just a little bit, but more so, I would chalk that off as exposing some of the areas that might be problematic in Lake City or mountain towns, blind spots.
He says the incident is an opportunity to dialogue about race relations and other issues in Lake City.
We all have prejudices. Those are things that we can give grace for and still love one another and give people the benefit of the doubt.
21-year-old Caleb Chambers grew up in Lake City. He was one of the organizers of the BLM march. He also sent an apology email to McMillan.
We made this march as an act of solidarity, but we also did not do our best to reach out to black people in the community and get their say in what would be meaningful to them. Because in avoiding tokenization of like our black population, we avoided connecting with them and building a relationship, and that ended up being pretty hurtful.
Chambers says white people, like himself, need to use their white privilege to fight racism.
To be anti-racist means to swim upstream, and that takes effort. And it can include some hurt. And as much as it may hurt as a white body person to look at racism, like, I have to imagine how much it must hurt to feel it.
Brendan McMillan says he loves living in Lake City, and this incident doesn't change that for him.
When we do make mistakes and we do say something or we have a fumble, that we can call each other on it out of love and compassion. Like, hey, that wasn't cool what you said, remember? It's things like that that I believe at least start conversations and begin to make some change and difference.
McMillan says this was a learning experience for himself and others, and he says he hopes it serves as an example that forgiveness leads to understanding and a closer community. Reporting from Lake City, Colorado, I'm Laura Palmisano.
That concludes the KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks for listening.